Welcome to Parent Talk, the show for parents, by parents, brought to you by the India Community Center. I'm your host, Vidya. This is a live show. As always, our call-in number is 510-770-1550. Once again, the number is 510-770-1550. Today's topic is about cheating in high school, and it's a problem that seems to have become much worse as time has gone by. In fact, 73% of all test takers, graduate students and teachers agree that most students do cheat at some point. 86% of high school students agreed. I mean, those are amazing numbers. To talk with me about the show today, I have two guests. One, the first is Kevin Jai. Kevin is a student at Mission San Jose High School in Fremont. And my other guest is Sukanya Goswami, who teaches English at Newark Memorial High. Kevin has done a documentary on cheating that is pretty revealing, and we'll be playing clips from that documentary over the course of this show. Welcome, Kevin. Welcome, Sukanya.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us today. So, Kevin, we'll be playing a little bit about your documentary, but it's about cheating. It's about how teachers know about it, how teachers deal with it, how students deal with it, and very nicely some of the solutions that you've suggested that come out of students themselves. So what made you do this documentary? What was the motivation behind it?
Well, I was approached by Miss Martha Krieger of Mission SOS. It's a school program for student wellness. So she asked me, as executive producer of our school broadcast station, MSJ-TV, if we could do something in a documentary style, because she thought a visual sort of thing like this would be very interesting and would attract a bigger audience.
For listeners who are not familiar with it, we had actually in an earlier show talked to Dr. Amy Alomar of the Challenge Success Program. It's a program that's actually run out of Stanford, which tries to educate any school that is interested about the stresses that students face and some of the solutions to deal with that. And part of that is, I guess, dealing with the big problem of cheating, which to a certain extent possibly arises out of that kind of stress. Before we go ahead, let's listen to our first clip from the documentary.
Puzzled because this particular student had been doing BB plus work. So I didn't understand why, what was going on. So I started to look at the actual work that had been done. And when you took the work this person had done and you put it through the calculator, you actually got the correct answer. So what they had done is essentially gotten the answers from another person, obviously in the morning, not realizing that that person had the other version of the test, and it simply recorded the answers down. When I confronted this person with her parents, what I heard from them and the student was that she had just felt unsure of herself. I mean, but there are parents who don't care if I teach one sentence of physics as long as the kid gets in.
So we got two things, I think, out of the clip. I don't know, for those who didn't listen to it clearly, it was about a teacher. What subject was this, Kevin?
AP Physics B.
AP Physics. So this is an AP Physics teacher talking about how he figured out that a child had cheated because she had got a different version of the test. So I guess this teacher had this, the way that this teacher combated the cheating problem was that he gave different version of the test so kids wouldn't share answers. And that's how she got caught. So that's the first thing, that the teachers are aware of this problem. The second thing that I got out of this is that the parent is actually pretty concerned, not particularly concerned about the cheating as much as they're concerned about the grade. So we'll talk more about these issues as we go along, but Sukanya, as a teacher, you heard this teacher talk. What were your thoughts?
Cheating is actually a very important issue at the present, and it is not only about the ethical element that cheating is bad, but also that the students often do not know what constitutes cheating.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Yes, it is. The ones that the teacher talked about right there, yes, they know what they are doing.
Right.
But again, we have that big element of technology coming into our lives where it kind of blurs what is acceptable and what is not acceptable.
So as a teacher, what would you say constitutes cheating?
Well, cheating would be taking any other person's work. It could be a written work. It could be an idea. It could be a concept. It could be anything that is somebody else's work and claiming as your own. That would constitute cheating.
Now, that's really interesting, and I want to explore that in some more detail, but we are it's time for our first little break. Let's take a short little break, and we'll come back and talk more about that. Welcome back to Parent Talk. I'm your host, Vidya. Today I'm in the studio with Kevin and Sukanya talking about cheating in school. And before the break, Sukanya was talking about, you know, how picking an idea from somebody else, written work from somebody else, there are many ways that we can classify something as cheating, and also how cheating has really increased over the years. And I want to ask you that. One of the things that statistics show that, yes, cheating has dramatically increased over the last 50 years. So has this been your experience also since you've been teaching for a while?
Yes, surely. You know, cheating has always been there. Students would cheat after their
kids. I was not
saying to exactly. They are kids. They would do. And when we were growing up, we heard all those stories. And that was, you know, different than what I see now since I started teaching. And one of the reason is that I feel that all the students have access to a lot of technology. Mm-hmm. And technology does make our life easier. But at the same time, there are side effects, if you want to put it like that, which we do not educate our kids on very well. And that's the reason they use the technology thinking that it's okay to do certain things, but obviously looking at the bigger picture, it is not so.
Give me an example. How technology has, you know, sort of made it easier and also blurred the lines between what is right and what is wrong.
To start with, students I remember seeing Kevin's documentary and I really liked it. One of the things that the teachers talked about, taking quizzes and vocabulary tests, students would cheat on those tests. And the best or the easiest way I have seen students doing that is with a cell phone. So they have the cell phone on, they text the answers. They text the answers from one class to another. They take pictures or snapshots of the question paper or the answer sheet and go from one, you know, it goes from one class to another.
Kids, this is not a way to learn new ways, okay?
So that is one way, obviously. The other bigger problem, which I think is the internet and how students gather information from it.
Great point. And Kevin, do you have something to share on that, on how your fellow students have suggested that they, you know, try to get a leg up or an advantage in tests? How do they do that?
I think what was just said was pretty accurate. Cell phones are very prevalently used where a student from, like you say, first period will text answer to the student in second period for the same class.
Oh.
Or during lunch, everyone will be in the library looking on the computers, looking for the answers. Because some teachers, they might take the answers directly from some other online sources, so the students can find them as well.
I see. But there is a camaraderie between the students where it is okay for you to share that information, because I know when I was growing up, you had this report card, right? We don't have that in that form, at least in the U.S., but you wanted to be the first or the second, and you certainly wouldn't go around helping another person do better than you or do as well as you on the test, because after all, you had this thing of trying to show off how much you knew, and it was sort of a reflection of your ability. So how does that work now? I mean, how do your friends feel that it's okay to share between each other, among each other? How does that work?
Well, the thing you mentioned about the ranking, I guess our parallel right now would be class rank, and a lot of schools, including Mission, have recently removed that from like public view. So although technically there still is class rank, you can't see it on report cards. So,
so that incentive to do better than your fellow student is really not there anymore, in a sense.
Right. I think it was to reduce competition with the class rank sort of thing. Just reduce this unnecessary competition to, you know, get number one or, you know.
Right.
But I guess part of it would also be if you ask your friend for answers and then he doesn't tell you, you're like, are you my friend? Why aren't you telling me this? Sort of thing.
So I guess there is peer pressure, in a sense, to help your friend out. Even though you may have different ideas about the ethics of that action, there is certainly... Do you agree, Sukanya? You wanted to say something?
Yes, actually, it's interesting that Kevin said that. You know, it is like I'm committing a crime. If I have partners in crime, I feel better.
That's a good point.
Okay, so I think that is the idea that goes along with the students, and they share all the cheating activities. Whereas what you are probably referring as, when we were younger, we would be scared to some extent that mm-hmm. people would come to know that I have done something bad.
Right.
That is kind of not as strong now. And so the kids are bolder and they have partners in crime.
Let's listen to the second clip from Kevin's documentary.
In the end, I think that taking honors courses isn't really all that important, because in the end, college admission counselors really recommend that you have a really high GPA as opposed to like super hard classes, because your GPA is what like shows first.
I could probably get an A in this class. If I really, really wanted to, I could break into it, but it's so against my morals and everything I've stood for my entire high school career that it's not worth it to me. I could never do that. I'd rather lose valedictorian than cheat.
Now, one of the things that struck me about when I was listening to this clip was that these kids are seeming to suggest that without doing that little thing extra, which you and I would definitely call cheating, or doing something that would give them an unfair advantage, they really cannot do well on these super difficult courses. Did you get that sense? Because she's saying, in the end, you know, it's my regular GPA that matters. It's not the honors. It's not the level of difficulty of the course. It's my ultimate GPA. And then the next girl says, it doesn't matter if I, you know, I could get an A if I really tried, but really I would have to compromise with my morals to do that. What does it say about our education system that these children don't think that they can actually get an A just by doing it the old-fashioned way, studying hard? And what's wrong in this picture?
I'll let Kevin go first for this, because...
Go ahead, Kevin.
Sure,
Kevin.
Okay. I'd say one of the things would be that in the modern era, it's very competitive. To get into college, you'd have to, you know, take all these extracurricular classes and, you know, get a high score on the SAT. So sometimes it feels like you don't have enough time to do all the studying you want to, because you have to use all these extracurricular activities. As well as one thing that Ms. Martha Krieger, who I worked with on this, was saying is that when you sign up for like an SAT prep course, you're kind of sending a message that I'm not good enough to study this for my like by myself, so I need this extra help. And I guess that also brings it into I need help. I can't do the course by myself. I need extra help, which I guess in this case would also be known as cheating.
This is just amazing to me that we've created this environment where there is intense peer pressure. I mean, do you see that in the same extent in Newark Memorial? I know Mission San Jose is sort of held up to be this insanely stressful, high-achieving, highly academic environment. Is that the same case in Newark as well?
Well, that's the reason I wanted Kevin to go first on this, because this is not the only reason students cheat.
Interesting.
That is definitely one of the reasons, and it is very apparent in Mission San Jose environment, where all probably 1,500 students are stressed out to get that great GPA and go to that college, whereas a Newark High, that would be like one-fourth of the student population who are that high high achieving mm-hmm. or want to achieve that level. And the same kind of pressure is on them as well.
Mm-hmm.
I teach senior AP literature, and I have students who are taking 4 to 5 AP and honors classes each year. And that is insane. That is totally insane. We recommend students to take maximum about 3, but they want to get to that great college, and that's why they think it's a good a strategy to take that. So the pressure is there, and the pressure comes from part of the pressure comes from the families as well. So students, we see students performing not for themselves, but to keep up to the expectation of somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But that's only one part. The other part is the students who are not trying that hard.
Okay.
And they cheat too because it's just available.
It's easy.
Yes.
Absolutely. If you just put in cheating in high school on Google,
mm-hmm.
there are like so many instances. They seem to be across the board, across geographical locations, across class, race, culture, in every sense. In fact, one of the most recent ones was a case in New York, in a really high-achieving high school in New York, where kids were taking the SAT exams, bright kids were taking the SAT exams for other kids for a monetary compensation. So, you know, I think it goes across.
Exactly. The example you gave, which is obviously a big example. The smaller examples we see in the classrooms,
mm-hmm.
like one teacher would call me and say that, this student, just keep an eye on him because I heard somebody else telling him or asking him, can you write that essay for me, English essay for me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it is not,
there's a little underground economy going.
Exactly. It might not be money oriented. But it could be any kind of favor-oriented, yes. So, yeah, it's Mission San Jose is one spectrum of the cheating, but the other spectrum is that students do not feel that they have to try hard to get their own grade because cheating is there. And again, from the society, from the families, we might not be getting the right
message,
education, mm-hmm. that part where they do not necessarily know what they are doing. Because I even remember when I talk about plagiarism in my 9th grade classes, they're appalled by the idea, oh yes, it is, when I put it in a picture format. But if they have been doing that for years,
right.
Teacher gives them their homework, they go and pick up the laptop, do all the Google searches, get the information, put it there. So that's it's a lack
of awareness.
Yes,
it's a lack of
awareness for everybody.
One of the, in fact, statistics that came up when I was researching the subject is that cheating no longer carries the stigma that it used to. So there's less social disapproval, as, you know, we discussed earlier. There's increased competition for admission. And so kids are willing to do whatever it takes to get an A. So sociologically, I mean, can you shed some light as a teacher on why you think it doesn't matter anymore? It did matter when I was growing up. It was a huge embarrassment to be caught cheating. Or, you know, so it certainly had social implications. So why is that no longer there? Kevin, do you have a thought? And then maybe Sukanya can follow up.
I do have one thing I'd like to say. One of the things that it doesn't carry a stigma anymore might be because we are taking classes that we don't necessarily want to take. They're either requirements or they're classes that we think we have to take to get into, you know, a good school. So
that's
if we don't respect the class
view.
Or maybe the teacher doesn't seem to even care, then we have no problem with, you know, cheating.
So in a sense, you are depending on the adults around you to provide an environment where cheating is, where they're strict about it and they're imparting a moral message in some ways that, look, I don't want you doing this. I mean, if you had a teacher like that who essentially put their foot down and said, if I catch you cheating, you're out of this class, mister. I'm going to give you an F. Would you be more less likely to, you know, to do something that was not acceptable?
Definitely, but it also depends on what he actually did to enforce that in class. If he just says it, then, and during test time he's, you know, off in another room drinking coffee, it's not going to carry much of a message. But if he's walking around the entire course, like, just looking to make sure we're not cheating, I think it'd be much harder for students to actually cheat.
But that's a very policing method,
right,
of enforcing cheating. I mean, how do you impart the values? And Sukanya, I want you as a teacher to you know, talk about that. There's one thing where you have real discipline and you're, the teacher is like eagle-eyed and they're going around when you're taking tests. They're using some methods, and we'll get to that in a minute, of figuring out whether a child has simply cut-paste from some online source or from a friend, and they're being very vigilant about it. Yes, that, as you say, is an approach that works. And what I seem to be getting from you is that if you feel that the teacher doesn't have respect for the class, then you're not going to have respect for it either. So that's, am I right?
Necessarily even just if the teacher, just if you want to take the course or not. Sometimes you just, you feel like either through peer pressure or just your decision that I have to take this course again to, you know, such and such college.
So again, there's something wonky about the education system. Definitely, this is the sense I'm getting from talking to you too, that is forcing kids to study stuff they don't want to study in environments that are really high stress. And so it's not surprising that they're simply, these are like outlets for the stress, that, hey, you know what, I'm doing AP calculus, but my God, I have no interest or inclination or, you know, aptitude for this subject. So I'll do whatever it takes to get through this. But Sukanya, why don't you elaborate on this, and then I want to ask a follow-up question on this.
First of all, why do we see it more now? One of the thing is we don't. There is no section in our education which talks about character building, no ethical education. It is all based on courses, and that is also, you know, on the standards, this, that. The teachers are themselves pretty high stress to finish this curriculum, the standards, and those kind of things. And Kevin is right that the students are taking courses which they don't need to. As I was telling you, that I have students who are taking five AP classes, and I tell them when they come and see me at the beginning of the year, that I ask them, do you need to do this? Mm-hmm. What are you going to do in future? Now, how many students do you think would really need to take AP English literature as a senior year? Not definitely 150 students, but they do take that because they want to show it on their
college
transcript. Mm-hmm. So we see the students again performing not for themselves, but trying to meet the expectations of others, peers or friends. And one thing to note, In the clip that you played, the teacher said it doesn't matter at times if I teach a line in class or not. The parents are happy if the kid gets an A. That tells you volumes about the society.
That it surely does. I want to ask another question, and it might offend some people, but I'm apologizing in advance. But Sukanya, do you think that this is a South Asian, East Asian mentality? That sort of bringing this drive and this intense pressure to, you know, succeed. Have we brought it in with us as immigrants? Do you think that's
the competition part, mm-hmm, you're talking about? Well, you see, the Bay Area is mostly with high-performing students coming from highly educated, affluent families. So obviously, it is a concentration of those kind of families. So we see that competition more in this area than in other areas, maybe, mm-hmm, where it's widespread. But does it come with the culture? I wouldn't go that far, because times are changing as well. Mm-hmm. So students who are not South Asian or not Asians, but are living in this environment where they have to compete with high-performing students coming from a certain background, it's also a survival technique for them.
Absolutely. That is such a good insight. On that note, we'll take another short break. When we get back, we'll talk some more about the subject. This is Parent Talk, and you're listening to it on 1550 AM. Our call-in number is 510-770-1550 if you want to call in and share your experiences.
calling.
Welcome back to Parent Talk with your host Vidya. We have Paul on the line who wants to share some thoughts with us. Hi, Paul. You're in the air. Go ahead.
Yes, Vidya. I mean, for me, I feel that the cheating, the concept, it starts at the age, I mean, right from the birth, I believe.
Really? Okay.
Okay, so we parents, we cheat ourselves, which would be caught by the kids and the practice. That's one thing. And second thing I wanted to discuss about you is, should we blame the educational system? Mm-hmm. Or should we blame the kids? Or should we blame the competition, what we have?
Mm-hmm.
If you look into most of the colleges, admissions mm-hmm. are based on the grade system and etc., right?
Exactly.
So obviously when a student is weak in that particular day on that particular subject for the test,
mm-hmm.
he tries to get a good grade, that forces him to go for cheating.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, if the educational system is changed to different pattern, is it not re-controlling the cheating system?
Very good points. Two points Paul brings up. One is, what is the role of parents to impart a set of ethical values, and are we in an unconscious way by our own behaviors modeling something that is okay? You know, if we download a movie or watch a pirated DVD, for instance, very common in South Asian homes, I have to say, including mine, and I'm really embarrassed about it, but do we tell our kids it's acceptable, taking shortcuts is acceptable? That was his first point. And the second is the educational system making it impossible for kids to manage without cheating? So, Kevin, I want you to take the second point first, and then maybe Sukanya as a parent and a teacher can take the first point later. So, do you feel among your peer group that it's college admission that's driving this whole, you know, this whole move that we have towards being very casual and about ethics and morality?
I would say that college admissions is a very big part.
Uh-huh.
I'd say another part would be that I know there's this big stereotype that admission is this giant group of humongously smart people, but I'd say it's not so much that as there's, you know, a select group that is pushed very hard to work incredibly hard in the sciences and maths, and all these other kids that I guess could be defined as normal also see these people and think that I have to be at the same level. So they're also trying to reach these incredibly high standards set by these people who are spending, I think, too much time on studying math and science.
So you have an incredibly difficult peer group to match up to, and that certainly does the trick. But your point was revealing, which also sort of touched on Paul's point about the parenting part of it, that there is intense pressure not just from the child's own drive to get into a good college, but from the parental expectations to get into a good college. So, Kanya, what do you say?
I totally agree with that. It is... the educational, one of the questions the speaker brought up, or the caller brought up, is who is to blame? Mm-hmm. It is something about the society in general. It's a reflection of the society. And obviously the parents, as I totally agree, that we often do things as parents that gives the message to the kids that it's okay to do these kind of things. And as teachers, too, I have seen teachers who are very strict on plagiarism,
mm-hmm.
but they show pirated movies in class. Okay, so this conflicting messages are obviously there. And
yeah.
There are file sharing sites where you can go to download pirated movies faster.
Oh, we just had that mega upload. We just got caught, right? And that guy's
exactly.
a millionaire.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So those are the kind of things. So what is the message are we sending to the kids? These are obviously very conflicting messages from the school, from the parents. And so they are doing what they think best to survive. The question rises that whom should we educate first, the kids or the adults?
Absolutely. And apart from the pressure, there is also this. There is where we talked about it doesn't carry the stigma that it used to. And I would like to share with you a really funny thing that I came across, which is last year the Swedish government actually allowed a new religion to be formed called the Church of Copimism. And as the name suggests, it's a church that's philosophy is that there is no such thing as intellectual property and all information should be freely distributed and unrestricted. Now, obviously, somebody has gone to the extent of creating an ideology around copying. Ideology around copying without paying for it. So you see, culturally also, especially to a large deal because of the, as you said, technology and the internet, we're in a space where we think that all information should be available without any restrictions on access and without any cost. So in this environment, does it become much harder to teach that message that cheating is not okay?
Definitely. If you ask me as an educator, it is very frustrating because we are spending a lot of time, as you pointed out, policing students about, you know, if they are cheating or not. And but we do not spend as much time teaching the students what constitutes cheating because we fail to model the right thing at times.
Looks like we have another call. Let's go to our lines. Welcome to Parent Talk.
Hi, this is Bhanu from Fremont.
Hello?
This is Bhanu from Fremont.
Hi, Bhanu. Go ahead.
Yeah. We are talking about cheating, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think, you know what? Just because you have children doesn't make you a responsible or a mature parent. You're just parents. That's it.
Yes.
And because why I'm making this point is the cheating starts at home. Where the parents do encourage, because the kid comes with a lot of homework, these people sit down and help them and do the homework for them. So that is the first level of cheating.
I am equally guilty.
Understand that it is his work and he or she has to do it.
Because we are not willing to live with the consequences of the bad grade. If your child,
I'm
guilty of it too as a parent. If my child brings home a B, my first question would be, what happened?
Yeah.
Right.
And the next thing is when they go to the school, and I know some parent who has programmed the Texas TI-84 calculator with all the formulas and things, and given the kids the macros, which button to press so that the formula will come.
Wow, that is such a revealing thing.
So,
fantastic.
So, I mean, it all starts with the parent. If the parents are responsible and they know what is. What is morality, what is ethics, I think the problem can be solved. And again, next question is, teaching used to be a career where you go what you know. But some people are now in the new modern era, people have made teaching a business.
Well,
And they
so
brought
true.
Up the words called mentoring, coaching, and when October, November time frame comes, you see a lot of people sending you a lot of emails and flyers. Oh, we help you in writing your essays and $1,000 for essay, $500 for essay.
So true.
And then in India, there are some institutes where they take your kid, take them to a slum or a village, and then go through some sort of a process, and then they give you a binder called a project. So you go and submit, and I know there are 4 people who got admitted to Stanford this year, last year.
I've heard of it too. That's absolutely true. I mean, we are encouraging it as adults. We should know better, but we are encouraging it. And that seems to be the consensus from both our callers, that parents have the first job. I mean, they are the first line of defense against something like this, and they should be modeling, and they should be, they should be the ones. The kids cannot be expected to learn it on their own.
The parents should tell the kid, this is what you are, and you are going to be what you are. That's it. I'm not going to spend a single dollar on illegal ways or illegal means or unethical means. Period. I don't care where you go, what you study, but be morally right, ethically correct.
That's a wonderful message, and yes, go ahead, Sukanya. You had something to say on that.
Now, I wanted to thank you for calling, and I agree with most part of what you said, but I do not want to limit it to the parents. Obviously, the parents model the behavior that the kids imitate, but the education system is also partly responsible for that. Teachers or the teaching that go in classrooms are mostly test-oriented, test-taking. So there is no part where teachers can do the real teaching, like character building, morality, ethical issues, they never have the opportunity. And that is because of the education system where the kid has to get to the best college, and so it's the testing that is more important. So yes, as adults, we do have a lot of responsibility.
This is a good moment to listen to our third clip, so from the documentary.
Yep.
When students do well on tests, of course they celebrate, and when they don't do well on tests, it's the end of their world. The sky is falling, life as we know it will end. An example would be when I get my vocab tests, and if a student doesn't get an A on their vocab test, it's disaster. They're jeopardizing their A. And my vocabulary is only a 10% portion of my grades. And so if somebody doesn't do well on a vocab test, it's not going to affect their grade all that much. But more importantly than that is if they're getting all bent out of shape because of a poor score on something as inconsequential as a vocabulary quiz, then how are they going to respond when life really cuts them out at the knees, when they get sick, when they get in an accident, when a close friend of theirs is involved in some catastrophe? Then that's when they're really going to be rocked. And they need to have a sense of being able to come back from setbacks. They need to understand what's important in life and realize to put things in perspective. And that's where I think sometimes points and grades are a little too emphasized.
So do you agree with that, Sukanya, that there is, because kids cheating doesn't have that stigma, because information is so freely available, because answers are available on the internet, because your friends will give you answers, like Kevin said, if that is, does that make kids today less prepared for the real setbacks that life can throw at them? Kevin, do you want to address that?
I think the big message from that one audio clip is taking things into context. When you're in high school, it seems that sometimes the only thing you can focus on is grades, 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 and you don't really zoom out and see the big picture of life and, building your own character on who you want to be in the future. And something just seems to be focusing only on grades, and that's a problem when something actually does happen that really is important to your life, but you've just been blindsided because you've just been focusing so much on academics.
Right. Life learning. We've got another caller, so let's take a listen. Welcome to Parent Talk. This is Vidya.
Vidya, again, it's Paul.
Yes, Paul, go ahead.
I just wanted to throw some more light.
Sure, go ahead.
If you look into the high school math, I'm taking one subject. Ms. Sukanya, don't take it to your heart, okay? This is purely commenting on the teachers in the school. I was also a lecturer, okay? I feel that a teacher should take up the concept and build up their own problem, questions, and then give it to the students. Even if they give the homework, I expect that the teacher has to request the student to come into the class and present that one in front of everybody, whatever work he has done, and let the other students pose a question to that student. That way he will be learning the communication skills and know how to work hard, how to present. What happens in the school, the odd questions would be solved and would be available for the teachers and the students. They pick up only the odd questions to explain. That means the teacher, he himself, is cheating. So I'm not blaming, I'm just putting a point. Instead, it could be better if one frames their own question and then give the homeworks of their own instead of taking the questions from the book, which are all, whose answers are all available on internet and everywhere.
So it requires some extra work on the part of the teacher, definitely.
Of course.
Yes,
of course.
Yes.
One time you prepare for years together, it will be handy for you.
Yeah, I do agree with you. Teachers need to be very creative about their profession. And what you suggest is definitely one of the ways of doing that. And teachers are always actually looking, thinking about or finding and looking for things that they can do to minimize this plagiarism or cheating. And your idea is great. One of the things that teachers do have a lot of pressure on is, again, as I said, that they their curriculum is based around the testing that happen constantly throughout the year, and the huge curriculum that they have to finish by the end of the year. So that kind of put a pressure on the teachers that they cannot be as creative as they want to.
Is this a legacy of No Child Left Behind? Is this something you see because of that law that made it standardized testing so critical to academic performance?
That is partly to the performance is partly based on that. But if you look at schools like Mission San Jose, that's not the reason. The reason is that the student has to get the curriculum has to be completed for the student to get better grades the next year. So
right.
The teacher has to finish the curriculum no matter what, which is huge. Actually, if you look at the curriculum that we do at each grade level here in this country is almost double the size that they do in Japan, for example.
Really?
And probably 75% the size that they do in Europe. So what we try to cover each year is huge amount, and that is quite that puts a lot of pressure on the teachers, and which I'm not sure how much of that is necessary to complete.
So I'm getting two things here that do seem to be critical if this problem has to be addressed on a very macro level. One is that the educational system really needs to be looked at in terms of what are we teaching our kids, how much are we teaching the kids. And the second is the college admission process has to reflect more of what the child is overall capacity is and his talent is and his abilities are, rather than on stupid grade. Unfortunately, do you think that's the, you know, do you feel that the same way, Kevin?
I believe that colleges do look past much more than just grades, but I think students might be misinformed and think that grades are the most important.
You know, I think that probably means that we will need to do a show on college admissions to do a little more awareness on that, and I absolutely plan for something like that. I want to quickly play the last clip because here are some students talking about some better ways to deal with the problem in school.
I switched from honors pre-calc to regular pre-calc. So I played baseball, and it's going to be my fourth year playing baseball this year. There's only five seniors have done that in our grade. They played 4 years of baseball.
And through extracurriculars, you're allowed to find yourself. You're allowed to find what you're passionate about and what you enjoy doing. And with just academics, yes, there is some interest there, but if you're not that kind of person, then you need some other way to express yourself. Especially choosing colleges, when friends aren't supportive of where you're going or where you're thinking of going, it's just hurtful, because then it's like, well, why don't you support me? You know, you're my friend. That's what I feel like you should be doing regardless of where I choose to go. Like, at least, you know, say, oh, you know, that's cool, rather than, really, why are you going there?
Kevin, these are kids who have consciously made the decision that they're not going to get sucked into the academic rat race. And one of them has decided to drop an AP class for an honors class, right? AP to honors or honors to regular class?
Right.
Honors to a regular class. And the second one says, you know, be supportive of me. I may not get into the, you know, I may not make it to an Ivy League college, but regardless of where I go, you need to be supportive. Is that what she was saying?
Yes, I agree. That's what she was saying.
So in a sense, these are kids who they're the best people to sort of talk to about how to address this. And they're giving you two very valuable pointers. Create an atmosphere in school where it is okay to pursue your dreams, even if those dreams don't include an intense academic regimen or curriculum. And secondly, if it gets too much, just leave. Do a lighter course. It's not going to impact you. It may end up giving you time for some extracurricular activity that will broaden your perspectives and which will make you a better rounded person. And ultimately, and probably this will turn up when we do our college admission show, it may not even affect your, you know, admissions into college as much as you think they will. It's just that we live in a very high pressure, high achieving peer group environment, and maybe we need to revisit what our beliefs are about how our future will take place. So on that note, I want to end today's show. Thank you so much, Kevin, for coming, and I loved your documentary. Thank you so much, Sukanya.
You.
Your input was really valuable.
Thank you.
Next week, we'll be talking about yoga, quite a departure from today's topic. But the New York Times created a huge uproar recently when they published an article titled...
Celebrate India's Republic Day.
When they published an article titled How Yoga Can Wreck Your Body. So we'll be talking to a yoga instructor to discuss the points brought out in the article and if there's a right way and a wrong way to do yoga and if yoga can help kids, grandparents and everyone in between. If you have something to share, if you want to give feedback on today's show, do write in to radio@indiacc.org. Once again, that email